time.
I want us to really think about something, though, this evening that is really, really somber. And I think about this because we have so many great opportunities as Christians to come together, to study God's Word, to meet in fellowship, and, of course, upon the first day of the week, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But I want us to think for just a moment, what would it be like? Make sure that's on better. Is that better? I want us to think about this for just a moment. What would it be like if for any one of us, if God were to tell us today, you and your family are excluded from worship services? You see, sometimes we take it for granted that we can come together and worship God in spirit and in truth. And what makes me think about this so much is in Psalm 122 and verse 1, Psalm 122:1, this is a song or the ascents or degrees of David. So we know who the penman is. The penman was David. And he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why was David so excited about that? Why was he so happy about that? Well, you can go back to Deuteronomy chapter 23, I believe it is, chapter 23 and verse 2. And it talks about the one of an illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord. Now listen to this. Even to the 10th generation, none of his descendants, it says, shall enter into the assembly of the Lord. Now, I did a little bit of research on this, and the word generation has multiple meanings. You can take it anywhere from about 20 years all the way up to about 30 years. But I want us to stop and think about that for just a moment. Because what was being told at this time, the children of Israel, was that anybody of illegitimate birth from that point forward for the next, 10 generations would not be allowed to come into worship God with the rest of the people. So when David said what he did, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. You realize that David was excited about the idea. He was happy about the idea. Why was that? Well, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And beginning at verse 1, and we'll get to verse 3, and I'll begin to make my point. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Now notice in verse 3, Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. He had no right to bear children. Perez begot Hezron. Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon. And Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. And Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. And Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. If you start with Perez, where it was rightly would be the right place to start, and begin to count genealogies, when you get to verse 6, Jesse begot David. He was the first one of this lineage that was allowed to go back into the assembly and worship with God's people. And you look at that and you begin to realize how important it really was for David. And I wonder sometimes if we have that same basic mentality. The mentality that says, I'm excited. I'm ready to go to worship. I'm ready to be with God's people. You know, sometimes God doesn't expect you to be here. If you just recently had a medical procedure, or you come down with the flu or something like that, God didn't expect you to be here. But how often, I wonder, when we look around us, how many people just willfully miss, not because they're sick, Not because they've had a medical procedure or something like that. But they just choose not to be here. Folks, as Christians, we ought not to find a reason at all if we're capable to be here and worship with God's people, to exhort one another in psalms, hymns, and songs of God, and lifting up our voice in praise to Him. Coming together as God's people to pray as a group of Christians and our prayers to ascend up to God. We should never look for a reason not to be here. In fact, we ought to be looking for every reason to be here. Are we not encouraged by one another? I know I am. I'm encouraged when I come here. Boy, I was encouraged when I saw Michael here. I'm encouraged every time we get together. And one of the reasons is because we have such a close-knit body of people. You know, I made a comment about, you know, sometimes God doesn't expect us to be here under certain circumstances. We understand that. God understands if you can't be here. But right now, I'm thinking of a Christian lady in this assembly who just had a medical procedure, and she's here. She's here. She's had a port or a shunt put in. And yet she found it necessary and good to be here. Now, I know the old expression, you know, about preaching to the choir. We don't have choirs. But you know what? I am preaching to the faithful because you made a point to be here. Now, I know that some people are out of town and they're probably worshiping somewhere else. I know the likes of those people, and they'll be somewhere else, wherever they've gone to visit. But as we face a new year, as we come into this new year, we're about to leave 2019. That seems like it went by so quickly. Let's have that heart and that mindset to look at 2020 and say, if I can be worshiping with God's people, that's where I'm going to be. If it's at all possible to be there, both Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, when we're having a meeting, every night is possible for us to be there. Let's be here. Because we strengthen each other. We build each other up in the faith by being here. I look at some folks that I know are older than I am. Not much. But you're a little older than I am. And you're here every time the doors are open. I'm encouraged by that. You probably have a lot more aches and pains than I do. And I have a few. But you're here, and I'm encouraged by that. Let's look at 2020, and let's make it the year that regardless of what is out there, unless it is a situation where God would not expect you to put yourself in harm or somebody else in harm, let's be here. If there's anyone here this evening who's never put on their Lord and Savior in baptism, and yet you know what is required. You've been thinking about becoming a child of God. Simply stated this way, have you heard the Word of God preached? Number two, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you ready to repent of your sins? And that's making a U-turn. It's not always easy. But you make that U-turn in life. You stop following Satan and his ways, and you turn your way and you head toward God and his ways. And you're ready to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. Then you're ready to be baptized. You're ready right now to become a faithful child of God. Maybe it is the case that you are a child of God, and we've kind of let the world get away from us a little bit and maybe push us away from the church, and we've gotten ourselves too involved in this and that and the other. And you find it a good time right now to come back to God on His terms. Can you think of a better time than right now? Probably not. Today is the day of salvation. But whatever your circumstance is, if we can help you out, if we can encourage you in some way, Won't you come right now as we stand and sing this song?